Today I'm proclaiming the Word of God from the Epistle, Romans chapter 15, verses 4 to 13. And I want to start by proclaiming a blessing from this reading. The God of all hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I've just proclaimed that blessing from the Word of God. Let's hear it again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace by what? Fill you with joy and peace by giving you plenty to eat and drink, by giving you a lovely house to live in, harmonious relationships, by giving you a good job. Is that what St. Paul says? These things are all desirable things, all things that we naturally want. But St. Paul draws our attention to something different. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace by believing. By believing in the good news. The good news that in Christ Jesus we have a welcome from God our Father. That this gives us great hope to welcome one another. As we welcome one another, as we experience the harmony that this brings, it is music to God's ears. God's name is glorified, and we are brought home by God. This is God's work in us. It's what God does for us. So let's listen to God's word and let his Spirit-filled word work on us to fill us with hope. Here's how the reading begins. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of Scripture we might have hope. St. Paul here is drawing us to the source of our hope, the Word of God. Each Sunday we gather together around God's Word. No matter what our ethnicity is, no matter whether we are male or female, no matter what our social standing in this world, we have a sharing, a communion in God's holy Word. So we listen to this word together and let this word do its work upon us. As we listen, we receive, St. Paul says, instruction or teaching from the Lord. But this is not simply content or ideas or concepts. We receive a message from God that fills us with hope. The message changes the way we orient our lives, lets us look forward, not in despair, but with hope. Now, in scriptures, hope is not a weak word. In English, we can use this word in sometimes rather weak ways. We have a party on the weekend, and we hope that the weather will be nice. We have a wish that the weather will be nice, and we know that our hope or our wish makes no real difference on the actual weather itself. It's a natural way we use the word hope in spoken English, but something else is going on when scriptures talk about hope. When the Bible talks about hope, it's talking about a steadfast assurance that God gives us, a reasonable and right expectation of good things from God. Perhaps you could think about it this way. Imagine a great aunt died and she had a will. And you are told that your name is in the will, and you go along to the reading. You will listen with hope, especially as your name is mentioned and the bequest is nominated. You will know now that it's not simply a wish that you will receive good things, but that they are coming to you. This is a good way to think about God's word to us. We are beneficiaries of what Christ has done for us, of what the prophets spoke about. So as we listen to this word, listening as beneficiaries, we listen with hope. Not with a pious wish of what might be, but with a steadfast assurance of what God is giving us in Christ Jesus. Now, St. Paul then proclaims the blessings that flow from the hope that we have, the hope that the Scriptures proclaim. He says, "May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony." Josh and I were talking about this text during the week in relation to family life. When our kids get on in our families, we hear them speaking well to each other. It's music to our ears. Have you ever used that expression yourself, that something is music to your ears? Well, in family life, when our kids get on, that's music to our ears. The sweetest music that parents can really hear, it seems to me. Now, St. Paul is proclaiming that God is like this. When Christian people live in harmony, a harmony that comes from the hope that they have, it is music to God's ears. It's interesting, by the way, that harmony comes from difference. In a chord where there's harmony, different notes are played, but the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. The difference is part of the sweetness when the difference works together well. That's how it is to be also in the church by the power of the Spirit-filled Word. People who are different are brought together, and their harmonious love for one another is part of the sweet harmony that pleases God and that sees God's name glorified in this world. Now, back in St. Paul's day, one of the big issues was Jews and Gentiles living together. Could they get on? Could they be part of the same group? Could they be part together of the church? For St. Paul, based on the witness of the prophets, absolutely. This is the harmony that God is creating. And so St. Paul is encouraging the Roman Christians, Jews and Gentiles, to show a real welcome to one another. This, therefore, is what St. Paul writes. "Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." There is a command that we welcome one another. But what is this command based on? It's based on the welcome that we have received in Christ Jesus. How has Christ welcomed us? He has welcomed us according to his mercy. He has welcomed us with a word of forgiveness. He has welcomed us as people made in God's image, each one of us having a purpose given from God. He has welcomed us as people who receive gifts for the building up of his body. He has not turned away from us, but extended his hands to us. No matter what our gender, what our ethnicity, what our age, he has welcomed us. Since Christ Jesus has welcomed us, St. Paul is saying, we therefore are free to welcome one another. To forgive each other, to look at each other, to say a word of greeting, and together to sing God's praises, and we will get to that. This is the welcome that God has given us in Christ Jesus. St. Paul is very explicit here, by the way, about the welcome that Jesus has given also to Gentiles. So listen to how the text goes on. "For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised, that is the Jews, on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy." Jesus did not just welcome his own people, the Jews, but he welcomed also, in accordance with the word of God, in accordance with the prophetic witness, the Gentiles. Jesus Christ himself did this. We too are free as God's people to welcome one another. What this looks like, St. Paul spells out in a series of quotes from the Old Testament, from the sweep of the Old Testament, from the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, from the prophets, and also from the writings. He wants to impart to us, his hearers, that this is not an isolated theme in Scripture, but a major theme across the whole sweep. So listen, keeping that in mind, to the quotes that St. Paul brings forward. As it is written, quote, "Therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name." And again he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples praise him." And again Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse shall come, the one who rules, who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall have hope." So of course, one of the themes here is the Gentiles coming into the people of God. But did you hear also the theme of praise here? That the Gentiles, that basically we, as God's people here in Bethlehem today, are joined with the Jewish people, with the whole people of God, in praising God's name, in the praise of God. The harmony that God brings about is seen in praise. Now we experience this very literally as we sing together as a congregation, and as the choir leads us in harmony. It seems to me that a passage like this can teach us a lot about what church music should be. Harmonious, celebrating difference, bringing it together is greater than the sum of its parts. But it's also good for us to think about what praise actually is. Because praise is not directed to God, but it is directed outward. Think, for example, about going to see a movie that you really enjoyed. One of the things that you want to do as a human being, generally speaking, is to tell other people about the movie. You'll tell them what you enjoyed about it, what scenes you found particularly effective, these sorts of things. It's natural for us to do it. When we speak this way about a movie, or about someone we know, or about a place that we've been, we are praising the movie, the person, or the place. We are speaking to others about the good attributes of these things. We don't praise the movie itself or adore the movie. We tell other people about it. That's how it is also with God. God indeed can be adored, and it's a right thing to do. But a major theme in Scripture is the praise of God, speaking outwardly to the whole of creation about the goodness of God. We have experienced a welcome that God has given us in Christ Jesus. This frees us to harmonize and to sing in praise of God, outwardly focused for our enjoyment, the completion of our enjoyment of God, and for the blessing of others. And so you'll know that in Scripture, the whole of creation is drawn into the praise of God, even rocks and hills and rivers and valleys, and indeed human beings too. Note also in the words from the prophets, from the Old Testament, the law and the writings, the word hope. We are not simply food for worms. We are going somewhere. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, so we will be as well. There's a strong Christ focus in all this. Our hope is not in ourselves, but in what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, given us a welcome in the one who himself lives, even though he died. This shapes our life together. We do not have to be hemmed in by death, by darkness, or by despair. We can stand up, raise our heads, and know that life is before us. It is indeed true that if we look inside ourselves, we may feel a great lack of faith, a looming despair and a darkness even. But as we look outside and onto Christ, as we attend to the word of God, not our own word, we are filled with hope that comes from the Holy Spirit. And that's why St. Paul can end with a blessing that I started with. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul here is not telling us to do anything. He is simply proclaiming the work of God for us in Christ Jesus. The most important thing we can do is to listen to this word and let this word shape our lives, because it is filled with the Spirit who leads us to Christ, who lets us live with hope in this world, which shows itself in the harmony that we have even together in this congregation. Not as we live in perfection, but as we go to the goal of perfection, forgiving one another, welcoming one another, and showing love for one another.